1 John chapter 2 will be in verses 28 and 29 this morning, so just two verses this morning. If you happen to have one of the church-provided Bibles, the blue Bibles, you can turn to page 1123. 1123, that's what will be this morning. And Lord willing, next week we'll turn the page. We'll be on 1124. We've been on 1123 for a while now, so we're getting ready to turn the page. But this morning we're going to be in verses 28 and 29, and we have been in a series in 1 John for quite some time now, a series entitled Assured. The reality is that as brothers and sisters in Christ, our Heavenly Father, our good Father, wants us to live with great confidence because of what the gospel has already accomplished in our life and what the gospel is accomplishing in our life today and what the gospel will finally accomplish in our future. And so regardless of the times that we're living in, we are to live as brothers and sisters in Christ with assurance or confidence. And last week, we took a look at the times that not only are we living in, but really that time frame between the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus. And the reality is that in the midst of these times, just as they were 2,000 years ago when Jesus came to this earth, that we have an adversary that is at work. He is called the Antichrist. But the focus of last week, as John has rightly told us, it wasn't the person of the Antichrist that you and I need to really be focused on in those particular verses. It's the spirit of the Antichrist. And it is the spirit of the Antichrist in the last days, and we are living in the last days, and we may be living in the last days for another 1,000 years. I don't know. But it's the spirit of the Antichrist that desires to deceive us. It is the spirit of the Antichrist that desires to distort the message of the gospel, specifically about Jesus Christ, ever so slightly to get us off track. And so it's important for us that as we live in the last days, that we must depend on the resources that we already have. We have the person of the Holy Spirit that indwells us as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we also have the Word of God. And it's important for us to realize that we need to recognize the root of all error. The root of all error is, what is it that someone truly says and believes about Jesus Christ? When we look at all error in this life and in this world, it centers around one thing, the person and work of Jesus Christ. Some will say that we believe in the same God. Listen, we don't believe in the same God if we don't believe in the same Jesus. And so that is important for us. And we also realize that John is telling us in the last days that you and I have a responsibility. And in that responsibility, we are to exercise preventative measures. That we don't just enter the world with no filter whatsoever. But each and every day, as we enter into the world, as we see what's happening on the television or through social media or in our workplace or the events that are happening, that there must be a filter. And so part of that filter is we are to exercise preventative measures. It's for our good. It's for our safety. And this morning we're going to continue somewhat of that theme of the end times, the last days, and talking about the importance of being ready. Being ready for when Jesus Christ comes again. John says these words in verses 28 and 29. He says, "And now, little children, abide in me, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him." And so what is the big idea that John is communicating in these two verses? Well, it's very simple. The big idea is this: Jesus Christ is coming again. You may sometimes wonder, or you may hear the question, is Jesus really coming again? And John makes it crystal clear. He says in the middle of verse 28, when he appears. When, not if, but when. And this is important for you and I today, because my greatest assurance, your greatest assurance for the fact that Jesus is coming again isn't based on our interpretations of the times in which we are living in. It's not based on what the news is reporting or not reporting. It's not based on the great conflicts in the world. It's not based on the fact that someone can publish a book called 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988. And obviously that hasn't happened yet, right? It's not based on the fact that a book series can turn into a movie called Left Behind. You see, it may sell a lot of books. You may eat a lot of popcorn while you're reading and watching those movies. It may get a lot of hits on social media, but that isn't our greatest assurance. Our greatest assurance, more than anything else, more than how you feel, what we see and what we hear, our greatest assurance of the fact that Jesus is coming again is because the Bible, God's word, makes it crystal clear that he is coming again. The other thing that is clear is you and I don't know the date. Jesus himself said these words in Matthew 24, verse 36. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. Here in verse 36, we see one of these great examples of how Jesus in his humanity restrains his deity. The fact that he is God and the flesh. And this is a reminder that no man anywhere on earth, no matter what he claims, knows when Jesus is going to return. And here's what I love about this verse. I love the fact that Jesus isn't wanting us to spend all of our time and all of our energy trying to pinpoint the exact date, the exact moment of when Jesus is coming again. He instead wants us to live, and this is important, he wants us to live each day ready or prepared for his second coming. Remember, right before verse 36, Jesus says something extremely important. He says these words. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. In other words, are you going to build your life on the things of this world, or are you going to build your life on the word of God? Jesus says, the Father knows the hour, so be prepared. So to Jesus' followers 2,000 years ago, to Jesus' followers today, and to Jesus' followers in the future, the question is, are you ready? Are you prepared for the second coming of Jesus? This is the point of what Jesus is getting at. How do we know that? Because when we look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, through Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, this is the main thing that Jesus is going to address. Jesus tells story after story. He starts off with the story, he's going to come like the thief in the night. Let me ask you a question. If you knew that tonight a thief was going to come to your house, what would you do? You wouldn't go to sleep. You would what? You would be prepared. Jesus then tells the story of the 10 virgins. And it's in that story that he's illustrating the importance of preparing ourselves in order to persevere until his second coming. Jesus goes on to tell the story of the faithful servant. It's the faithful servant who honors his master until he comes. This story illustrates the importance of serving Christ with everything that he has given to you. Not just watching and waiting, but being engaged in his mission in this world. And the question is, are you ready? Are you prepared for the second coming? It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. The Apostle Paul says these words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. It's verses that pretty much are read every time I have done a funeral. And they're beautiful verses. And this is what Paul says. He says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. Think about those words. One, we have a command. We have a voice, and we have the sound of a trumpet. I mean, if you think about verse 16 all by itself, this is one of the noisiest verses in all the Bible. And it's intended to posture us in a place of being in complete awe and worship of him. And no follower of Christ is going to miss this day. We will hear the command of the Lord. We will hear the voice of an archangel. We will hear the trumpet of God sound. Think about the beauty here. To the one who has never heard a sound once in their lifetime, to the one who is distracted by all the voices around them on that day, guess what? There will be no deaf ear, and there will be no distractions. Why? Because our entire focus, our awe, and our worship will rightly be placed on him. And Paul goes on to say, and the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive, we are left, we will be caught up, how? Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, and this is important, based on those truths, therefore encourage one another with these words. Paul talks about the end times, the second coming of Christ, to bring us great encouragement. So this morning, to the one who is grieving, to the one who is broken and hurting, to the one who is cast down and overlooked, to the one who is marginalized and forgotten, to the one who doesn't ever seem to measure up, to the one who is sick and weak, to the one who is persecuted. Paul says, brother and sister in Christ, be encouraged by these words. And not only be encouraged by these words, but make it a point to encourage one another with these words. Why? Because Jesus Christ is coming again. That is the big idea. And it's out of that big idea that you and I are invoked to a particular response. And what is that response that John is getting at? Well, this: we should live in hopeful assurance that our King is coming. You and I, each and every day, regardless of the circumstances, we should live each and every day in hopeful assurance that our King is coming. Think about that for a minute. The reality that Jesus is coming again, how does that impact your life today? That's really what the gospel is getting at here. You see, the heart of the Father is for His children to live with confidence as we await for the return of Christ. And why is that important? Well, listen to what John says again in verse 28. He says, and now, little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we have confidence and not shrink from Him in shame at His coming. John mentions the word confidence. That word confidence speaks of what? Of cheerful courage or excitement. I have a question for us this morning. Are we living today with a great expectation, a great anticipation that Jesus is not only coming again, but He could be coming today at this very moment? This is the type of confidence that only comes when we are enjoying fellowship with Him. That's why John says, abide in Him. Fellowship is so, so important between us and the Lord. The relationship is sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. But our fellowship with the Lord can fluctuate depending on what you and I are doing or not doing. And so John makes it a point. It's one of his favorite words, that we are to abide, we are to remain, we are to rest in Him. This is the key to living today and every day as a follower of Christ in confidence that as we long for and look forward to His second coming. But the reality is, when we aren't abiding in Christ, when we aren't trusting in Him, when we aren't remaining in Him, relying on His strength, the Scripture says something else. The Scripture says that on that day, the second coming of Jesus, we will not come with great confidence, but He says we'll come with shame. Now, what does John mean by the word shame here? Well, it's a word that describes being embarrassed. Why? Because you're caught off guard. Have you ever in your lifetime, as a young person or even as an adult, were doing something you weren't supposed to be doing, and all of a sudden somebody of authority walked in and caught you? And there's a sense of shame. There's a sense of embarrassment. And I think that's kind of what John is getting at here. Think about it like this. How many of us, when we look at our lives, we just assume that we're going to live another day, that tomorrow is going to be here. My life will continue tomorrow. In fact, I think I'm going to live till I'm 90. But here is the reality. I don't have that promise. You and I don't have that promise. And it's because of that that we tend to put off the things that matter the most, and we tend to focus more on the things of this world because we have this next day approach. That next day will come. That 20 years from now will be there. Sometimes we'll say something like this. Well, sometime in the future, I'll get around to that. And oftentimes, that is the very thing that the gospel wants us to address at that exact moment. What if we changed our mindset to, I'm only promised right now, that's it. And so I will choose to live right now for His glory because of His grace at work in me and through me. The embarrassment or shame comes because we're caught off guard. We're not prepared for the second coming of Christ. John says, do you want to have confidence today? Then abide in Him. Enjoy the fellowship that you now have with the Father because of the person and work of Jesus Christ. And it's in that abiding in Him, and only through that abiding in Him. Remember the words of Jesus. He said, apart from me, you can do what? You can do nothing. The command is abide. That's the same command here in 1 John chapter 2, to abide. And it's out of that abiding that you and I actually desire to pursue a life of righteousness, a life of holiness, a life that reflects the very characteristics of Jesus Christ Himself. Listen to what John says in verse 29. He says, if you know that he is righteous, so he's speaking about Jesus. If you know factually that Jesus Christ is righteous, this means that anything that Jesus does, thinks, or says is right. It's out of that personal knowledge, that personal relationship that John goes on to say, that you may be sure, that's an experiential type of sure, you'll be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. So John is talking about a transformed life, and that's exactly what the gospel does. The gospel not only transforms our life in a moment in the past, but guess what? It's the power of the gospel that continues to transform our lives today. You see, John is showing us that as we wait for the second coming of Christ, we aren't supposed to stop what we're doing and be lazy and be sluggish. No, we are to be motivated by the very fact that Jesus is coming again, that the focus of our entire heart and mind is what Jesus Christ is doing in our lives and the lives of those around us. You see, the second coming of Jesus Christ isn't about a political development. It's about Jesus Christ coming to get his bride, his church, in all her purity and all her splendor, and putting an end to Satan's reign on this earth. Do you think about that on a daily basis? That we are the bride of Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are to prepare ourselves to be presented to the groom in splendor, without blemish. Are you living in light of Jesus' return? Are you pursuing a life of holiness today based on his work of grace in you and through you? The question is, why does it really matter, right? I've got my ticket. Why does it matter? Well, listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says these words, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to do what? To please him, speaking of the Lord. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of God, of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. You see, all Christians at a point in the future, and when we die, guess what? We're going to stand before the judge, and Christ will be that judge. When we stand before Christ as judge, we will be judged according to the deeds that we have done in our life or not done in our life. And it's important for us as followers of Jesus Christ that the gospel is in no way that saying that for us that we will face the judge of condemnation. That is not true. Romans 8 tells us that what? There is therefore what? No condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. So that is not what the gospel is communicating here. However, it is talking about our works. It is talking about what we have done with the gospel that has transformed our life. This has to do more with what have we allowed God to do in us and through us. Remember what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. After this great salvation has occurred in our life, we are reminded of this beautiful truth. That we are what? We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance to do. You see, these works are evidence of faith. In no way are we trying to earn something. And it's both salvation and living a life of good works that come from the same place. And what is that same place? It's the place of faith. Paul says these words in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, I have what? I have fought the good fight. That's another powerful passage that oftentimes gets read at a funeral. And Paul says these words again, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have what? I have kept the faith. The faith that Paul has kept is not faith in himself. It's not faith in just some mere man. It's faith in Jesus Christ. I have kept on taking Christ at his word. I have kept on building the foundation of my life on the promises of God. Paul says, keeping the faith is like a what? It's like a fight. And it's like a race. Now, why is that? Why is that? Because keeping the faith is hard. Keeping the faith is hard. You see, on the surface, keeping the faith seems easy, doesn't it? I mean, think about the purity of faith for just a moment. Faith is what enables me and enables you to stop trying to earn our way and simply rest in the very one way that we have because of all that Jesus Christ has accomplished. That is the very freedom of the gospel. And so it seems easy. But why is it so hard to keep the faith? What is Paul getting at? Why does he use language like a fight and like a race? It's because we have two great enemies, don't we? We have the enemy of Satan, and it's Satan who wants to do everything in us and to us to distract us and to deceive us from abiding in Him and resting in Him. And the second great enemy is the great enemy of self. The great enemy of self. Because of the sinfulness and selfishness found in our own hearts, our hearts are still have places of pride. How many of you still have a place of pride in your life? If we're honest, all of us do. Not only that, our hearts are still filled with self-sufficiency. I'm going to do it on my own. Our hearts still have places where we are more concerned about our own kingdom instead of God's kingdom. And it's the fight of faith that desires to go 12 rounds, not 10 rounds. It's the race of faith that desires to go 26.2 miles, not just 26 miles. You see, faith is what enables us to endure to the end. And it's at the end of that fight, that race, that Paul says these words: "Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." There is a reward waiting you and I as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so Paul encourages us, endure to the end. Keep the faith. Be reminded that it's a fight. And it is a race. It's not necessarily how you start, it's how you finish that Paul is trying to remind us of. And so the question for every single one of us today, specifically brothers and sisters in Christ, is: are you ready? Are you prepared right now for the second coming of Jesus Christ? You see, God has given each follower of Christ the same two weapons to be prepared, to be ready. We have been given the Spirit of God, and we have been given God's Word. And those two are sufficient for us to be ready. How would you live differently today if you knew Jesus was coming back today? How would you live differently? It's as if John is telling us, if there's a way that you would live differently today if you knew Jesus was coming back today, John is simply saying this: we'll start living differently today. Don't wait for tomorrow. Begin today. Begin obeying God, begin loving God, and begin depending on God more and more each and every day. So the big idea again is Jesus is coming again. The response that you and I should have as brothers and sisters in Christ is that we are to live hopeful and hopeful assurance that our King is coming. And it's that hopeful assurance that changes the dynamics of the way that we live our life. It's what changes the dynamics of how we filter all that life is throwing at us. And so first and foremost, John is talking to the church, brothers and sisters in Christ: are you ready? But I believe there's a secondary audience as well. You see, you and I can't be ready for the second coming of Christ if we don't know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And so if you are here this morning, or if you're joining with us online this morning, if you have never professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if he has never been the King of your life, today is the day. You're not promised tomorrow. It's as simple as confessing your sin before the Lord, repenting of that sin, and turning and trusting in Jesus Christ. And it's in that trust, when that relationship is born, that now you and I can have fellowship with our Father. And as we have fellowship with our Father through the person and work of Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be prepared. We will live each and every day prepared for the second coming of Christ. Can you say with great assurance today that you are prepared for the second coming of Christ? As we turn our attention to our response time, as the praise part of the praise team comes up and leads us into a time of worship through song, consider those truths today. Is it in Christ alone that you have built your foundation in this life and your life for the next? I pray that you would be encouraged today, brother and sister in Christ, that he is coming again. We just need to be prepared. And if you have not placed your faith in Christ, today is your day. If you would like to fill out one of our response cards online, you can do that right now. If you're with us on campus today, as you leave, you can go to our welcome tent. We'd love to connect with you. We'd love to tell you more about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Whatever your decision is today, let us stand and worship the Lord through song.